Let's get to the Daily Download.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail.
All the stories you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports in bite size.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You want me to just like...
Story number one.
Like blurt out Led Zeppelin stuff throughout the show and aggravate Chris and you?
That's fine. That's up to you.
Ramble on!
Sorry.
We'll see if Zeppelin fans can join in and figure it out. I will tell you what we need to figure out is what are we going to do in this bye week? Exactly what changes during this bye week for the coaching staff, and what does Raheem Morris do specifically? Now, whatever it is they think they need to do, Mike, that'll be implemented when guys get back next week, and then we start to get ready for the Chargers. But don't get it twisted, guys. These coaches are up there working at Flowery Branch. They're trying to figure out, hey, how do we get right? What do we need to do? Nobody's just taking a vacation because it's the bye week.
But do you think, you know, for instance, you're holding, you got penalties. That's mental. That's between the ears. How do you fix that in the bye week? You know, some guys will go take off, hit the beach. Some guys will hang, whatever. But, I mean, how do you fix that? Because we've made some big, big self-inflicted wounds, which have killed drives. Same thing happened in Denver. Went backwards, had to settle for field goals. Kirk Cousins said it 2 weeks ago, you're settling for field goals. So then there's like, okay, if you're not getting right technically, does that mean you have to put the pads on Wednesdays? Getting back to what Dear Orlando Ledbetter said from the AJC, these walk-through Wednesdays aren't helping you with what you need to be good at.
Well, it's twofold, right? You're trying to save legs and bodies.
And I understand the logic behind that.
But in the same sense, Mike, maybe we do need to have a regular practice.
Chris, what did D-Led say last night? I know you had him on your show.
The overwhelming messaging, I would just say, not positive, Mike.
All right. Later.
Carl, if I'm honest, I'm kind of a glass half empty kind of dude.
We know, D-Led. We know that's who you are. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, guys, as we talk about this bye week. And we'll be diving in. And listen, there's still a lot to discuss because this is the week two things happen. You get right or it doesn't improve. If it doesn't improve, we don't improve. If we don't improve, we're not going to get to where we need to be. Here's Kirk Cousins talking about the penalties in Denver.
You know, we've just got to, with the play clock and everything, we've just got to be able to, have the procedure correct. And so we just did not execute pre-snap, post-snap well enough. And when you don't do that, it comes back to hurt you.
All right. The other thing that we are trying to figure out is what changes to the defensive personnel that we could see with the Falcons. That is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Mike, last night you said it. All-around effort from our Atlanta Hawks.
Story number two.
What about Richache, Mike?
I love this guy's game. Très bon! No, the dude is looking great. We talked about that 33-point effort. We're not expecting that every night, but he was a contributor last night. In a night, you had to have some scoring from somewhere without Jalen Johnson, who was kind of a late scratch. We got the news at the end of the show. So Richache playing in the context and the flow of the game. Trey distributing, getting him the ball. Trey really wasn't shooting last night. He was distributing. He was that facilitator. And we already talked about the effort of Dyson. He helped win the game with the defensive play late.
Yeah, Fox, De'Aaron Fox has the ball. Listen, they've got a chance to go down and win this thing. And DeAndre Hunter is D'ing him up. He spins off Hunter, and all of a sudden he's attempting to go up for a shot. Give me that! And he gets stripped, and it was like, what? Did he just play defense at the end of a game to win a game for the Hawks?
Now, for Hawks fans, this is a very strange concept. It's like a vernal equinox. You know, you're not seeing this a lot. Now, that was amazing. Not to mention the fact he had four. Now, the steals last night weren't there, but they had four blocks.
Yeah.
This guy is just, I mean, there's hustle and there's attitude, and I like to think it's contagious for this team.
Let's hear the Richache shot that put us up, by the way. This was, again, all the way down to the end. Sacramento came in here and beat the Hawks just about 2.5 or a week or so ago. So this is a nice get back. They will play Golden State on Wednesday, but this is Richache.
Now Trey makes a move, drives into the lane, underneath, and a layup by Zach Richache. What a pass from Trey Young, and the Hawks take the lead, 96-94.
Final score would go on to be 109-108. Here's the thing. If you're saying, Deuce and Bill, what are y'all talking about? This feels like this team has some momentum. And I know it's early in the season. If you look at the standings right now, the Hawks are fifth in the East. Listen, Cleveland's on another level. They're on another planet right now. The Celtics are the Celtics, but we beat them when all those guys are out. And then you talk about, the Orlando Magic, Mike, who we think are going to be good, and the Knicks. But this is where we should be living.
Yeah, and the other thing last night is, again, I watched the game this morning on the DVR. They were really controlling the glass. We got out-rebounded. They were slightly better at 3-point. We had great 3-point shooting. We were 43%. But that's a game where we just don't win. The point I'm getting, we don't win games like that. The Blazers game was tough because, you know, look, there were some things that got away from them. They missed some easy buckets. But this is a hell of a win for a team. We just don't win a game like this, you know, the last 3 years.
Hunter, 24, Capella, 14, and 14 boards. That's a big game for Clint.
Right.
And then Richache with 18 and Daniels with 14 points.
DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah. I just want to do it every night. That's all I'm asking.
Guy just hit me up and goes, yeah, Mike, don't hold your breath. Well, let's be glass half full that maybe with DeAndre. And by the way, just DeAndre off the bench. DeAndre only off the bench. How about that?
Well, he's been playing more aggressive. I will tell you that. He has come in and been like, I'm going to get mine. And that is what you're seeing right now in the two games. I'm only going by the two games he's played. But in the two games he's come off the bench here and he's coming back off this injury and being away from the team, Mike, he's been aggressive, and that's what they need. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's talk about college football because tonight the rankings come out.
Story number three.
So where are the dogs going to be? Kirby Smart was asked this question. A lot of people think, you know what, he's taking shots at the committee, Kirby's being a jerk, blah, blah, blah. He's got every reason to defend his football team with the schedule they've played. But when asked about, all right, Kirby, what are you expecting on Tuesday in the committee?
I don't know what they're looking for. I really don't. I wish they could really define the criteria. I wish they could do the eyeball test where they come down here and look at the people we're playing against and look at them. And, you know, you can't see that stuff on a TV. And so I don't know what they look for, but that's for somebody else to decide. I'm worried about our team.
I'm with him. I don't know, and you and I have been going round and round on this since this thing's first started. We used to talk to Big Bill Hancock, who no longer runs the show. But you got a lot of folks that have been around. Jim Grobe, former head coach. A lot of talking heads, university presidents. You know, you got folks from, you know, who played the game. And then some, I don't know what their attitude is, what their agenda is. And not that there's an agenda, but what are they looking for to coach's point? I mean, to me, when you're splitting hairs, it's got to be strength of schedule. You know, or head-to-head. That's where Georgia's in trouble with Ole Miss, you know, in Alabama. But Georgia does have the best strength of schedule of all the schools that are in this top 12.
Listen, I love Kirby, and he did this purposely, and this was calculated. I'm fine with that. But he knows what they're looking for. And when you talk about it, Mike, strength of schedule, let's look at that. Let's look at head-to-head opponents. Let's look at teams that you played and they played and how you fared against them. Let's look at who was injured when you played those teams and how that might have changed the game. And where did you play them? Like, all of these criterias haven't changed since we went from 4 to 12. But the fact is, because now it is expanded, everybody's freaking out because Georgia was literally out of the playoff last week. And now, beating Tennessee, they should be right back in it. Mike said it. Just get in. If you're concerned with playing with the SEC championship game, and listen, I think Kirby every year wants to play for an SEC championship. That's what this goal is. You don't go into any season and say, well, you know what, if we're fifth in the conference, it's okay. That's BS. But I do believe, Mike, that the criteria is what it's been. And I think tonight you're going to see a jump from them. But my question is, do you put them in front of Ole Miss and Alabama?
Well, do you want to be there? Because I think, you know, a lot of folks feel you got to be. I don't think, and Lane Kiffin, real quick, he was talking to the media yesterday. He says, quote, I've talked to other coaches, so I'll just kind of give you the feeling. Again, this is Lane Kiffin, so take it with a grain of salt. They don't want to be in it. He says the reward to get a bye versus the risk to get knocked out completely.
He's right.
That's where it's at. You get a third loss in the SEC championship. You're hoping that everybody else that's, you know, all those other bottom, not bottom, but the schools that aren't traditionally that are now in this top 12 get another loss.